And we are back. So next week, President Biden and former President Trump meet in the debate stage. They will do so under some pretty strict rules, if you ask me, designed to avoid the chaotic scenes and the interruptions and all the craziness that we saw during the debates in the last election cycle. Joining us to talk a little bit about this is Aaron Call, the University of Michigan's Director of Debate. Aaron, always a pleasure to have you on board to talk about debate and what makes a good debate.
Well, great to be back.
So do you think these rule changes that were presented and proposed and undertaken by both candidates, approved by both candidates, are they going to make for a better, informative, civil, open debate?
That's the goal, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I think a lot of the events are big improvements, and as you mentioned in the preview, the Cleveland debate was considered one of the worst presidential debates of all time because of all the interruptions. So the candidates have the tools in order to focus more and not have an audience distract them and be interrupted when their time to speak. But you could have a game plan going in and you kind of get sidetracked, your opponent gets under your skin, and you revert back to the mean of criticisms, ad hominem attacks, and things like that. So I'm hoping for the best, but sometimes we're throwing a curveball just because of the heat and passion that can interject in these political debates.
Oh, and this one is really, I think it's really going to set the stage for the rest of the campaign. I seem to think it will. So let's talk about what each candidate has to do. What does Biden have to do? What does Trump have to do in order to, quote, air quotes, win this debate?
I mean, expectations kind of go into it. So President Biden benefits generally. I think most people think that Trump's going to win the debate, and you know, he's not the best debater. So, you know, passing a very low bar, exceeding expectations, not making a major disqualifying gaffe, remembering back to Rick Perry during a primary debate, forgetting one of the departments that you want to get rid of, something like that that could go viral, bring up more questions about his age, just doing no harm like that would be really important. And then in addition to that, talking about what he perceives as the successes of his first term, what he wants to do, how to lead the country forward if he had the opportunity for a second one, but emulate what he did in the State of the Union address. There wasn't, people thought that he may not be able to get through that, and they didn't think much of that. And he kind of came out with a lot of energy, maybe too much energy, but just prove some of the naysayers wrong and try to get rid of the caricature that exists of him at his advanced age of 81. And for Trump, I think the same thing, going against the archetype and what the expectations are. People, I think, are expecting a lot of interruptions again and, you know, maybe being a little bit all over the map and negative. And so if he were to surprise people and be disciplined and presidential, kind of rise above the fray, reminding people what they liked of his first term and in comparison to the current presidency as it relates to things like the economy and immigration, he could draw a sharp contrast, but 90 minutes is a long time. So either of them kind of sticking to the plan and doing that in an ideal fashion will be very difficult and challenging for them.
Yeah, that the bet will be on that. Talking about former President Trump, there will undoubtedly be a question or several questions about January 6th. So how do you think he will answer, and how would you advise him, if you were advising him, to answer those questions?
Yeah, it's tough. As you mentioned, it's definitely going to be asked, and you know, people still have raw feelings from that. The debate's in Atlanta, one's not in D.C., which could even be closer to actually what happened that day. But it's definitely a big vulnerability for him, because it's not just what happened there. Also, you know, whether or not he accepts the results still of the first election. And so my advice, I don't think he'd listen to about really probably trying to deflect, even if you don't want to kind of truthfully answer the question, just try to sidestep it. But if he starts talking about the first election, you know, being rigged and pardoning people who committed violence during that, it may be the base, you know, may like that and his real diehard supporters, but it doesn't seem like something that would be very attractive to middle, moderate, independent voters that he really needs to cater to in order to win the election.
And that is, we got to remember, that's who's going to be watching here. This is not his base. This is not a Trump rally. They're going to have a wider audience here. Interestingly, I saw clips of the previous debate, the one that one of the cable TV news analysts famously called an S show. I saw a clip of that, and I saw Biden was real sharp during that debate and very, on point, answering all the very animated. And I don't know that he's going to be able to turn in that kind of performance again.
No, that was almost 4 years ago. And
yeah,
he's 81 now. He was just 77 then. So no, I mean, both debaters have had good performances. Trump did great in the 2015-16 cycle, but they both aged since kind of the highlights on their debate stage. And yeah, replicating that will be really difficult. That was a very unique time. We're right in the heights of COVID, and President Trump may have been positive with COVID during that debate, which you could chalk up to, part of the poor performance to that. But it was, yeah, very unique for one of the worst presidential debates of all time. But yeah, the polling after showed that most people thought that Biden got the better of that debate, and it really helped him in the polling and his campaign. But yeah, replicating that that many years later, even older now, would be difficult. And they had one other debate in 2020 in Nashville in October, and Trump did much better in that. That was, I think, closer to a draw, and so kind of learned from that. But I think both candidates are going to be rusty. Neither have debated in 4 years. Trump obviously famously skipped the primary debate. That's usually an advantage to the challenger, the proximity of those debates and being more into it than the current president. But we've never had a debate so early in June, and they have an accelerated schedule to practice. They're busy. So it's going to take some time, I think, for them, the learning curve, and to get the rest off of them.
Do you assign this in your classes for students to watch this?
Yeah, so I taught a public speaking and debate class last year, and yes, we studied all the primary debates, State of the Union address. It's a great tool for the students.
Absolutely. Aaron Call, University of Michigan Director of Debate. We'll talk again. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward, certainly, to these debates. Thanks again.
Anytime.
And thank you for joining us here today on Focus. Paul W. Smith on vacation. I'm Marie Osborne sitting in. We hope you have a great, great weekend, and really get out there and enjoy the warmth. Make it a positive thing. We'll see you again next week.